I got some good news for y'all. I'm going to be here a little while longer. So I'm going to make it through the mission conference. Woo.
Amen.
I'm excited. I was going to leave tomorrow morning, but I won't be leaving now till a little later, and that's exciting. You know, I like to be and stay at the mission conference. You know, it's always sad to leave earlier. So that's exciting. I'm not as funny as a lot of these other guys. Hey, I'm getting better. And but I do want to mention a couple things that I mean, I do love you guys, and I really miss y'all. You know, getting ready to leave, I was like, man, I don't want to leave, you know, every time. And being down in Mexico and thinking about it sometimes, you know, we have a lot of fun down there and everything, but I just miss y'all. I like y'all. I love y'all. It's a lot of fun to be here and be with y'all. And some people ask me, like Adi and her family, they ask me, you know, what do you think about the church in the States? You know, what makes them different, or what can you tell us about them, you know? And I don't know what the word is for it, but I just feel like, you know, they're just, you know, loose. They got a lot of love for each other and happy and joyful because I tell them, you know, even during the meetings, you know, you're preaching and, you know, everybody else is talking and shouting out whatever they think or something, you know, and everybody's laughing and I don't know. And they're like, what? No, really? You know, they can't imagine that. But I do see it as an amazing thing. Y'all are full of love. And I think a lot of churches in Mexico are just lacking in that. I feel like some just churches are real tense. Because in the church, there's a lot of problems between brethren. And man, you know, I don't want to see that. And when I come here and just see the brethren just all happy and, you know, laughing and joking and talking about dad and dad talking, and it's just a lot of fun. And I enjoy being here and enjoy being with y'all. And I want to thank all the church. This is going to be my last time speaking, and I want to thank the church for everything it's done for me. The meals in the mornings and Donnie and Courtney for giving us a place to stay. Just, I want to thank you all. Y'all have been really good to me. And I praise the Lord, and I thank Him too. I'm going to be reading in Acts chapter 16. I'll try to keep it short. I'm not much of a talker, and I don't think I go a long time preaching either. John said it was going to get better when I got married because I'd start talking more, but it really hasn't. Adi's one complaint with me is probably that I don't talk enough. But anyway, Acts chapter 16. I like this story. And it's been mentioned tonight. And, you know, I just like it. I like reading it. And I like it when it happens to me, you know. And we were talking about that this morning too. And I'm just going to read first the verse that I like, you know, 29. When we get to those, he says, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" You know, that's just exciting. I mean,
yes, it is.
Amen. Adi talked about Rafa. This man, I mean, I talked to him about, you know, what I'm doing in Mexico, and I offered him a study. And I said, you know, could I come to your house? And usually people are like, well, you know, no. And it's hard to get them to get a study, you know. I offered him a study, and he said, yes, I want one. I said, okay, wait. He said, can you come tonight? Yes, I can come tonight. You know, that's exciting when you get somebody that's just, hey, well, what do I need to do? You know, ready, they want. That's exciting to me. You know, I think I want to see a lot more of this. I want I wish everybody I talked to was like this. Amen. I mean, I want to see these people. People come up to me the same way. I want to see that. And I think, you know, this man wasn't like that from the beginning, you know, when it's talking about it. Something changed in him. Something changed his mind. Look at what this man was. 22 says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, Paul and Silas, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." I mean, he didn't start off, you know, saying, "Hey, I want to know about, you know, your Lord." He didn't start off like that. It says they beat Paul and they beat Silas and they striped him. And I mean, he thrust them into the thing. He didn't care. He was a jailer. He was strong. He was tough. He didn't care about them. And I think that's what we got a lot of today. People just don't care. They're tough. They're strong. You know, to be a jailer, you got to be strong. Seeing people get whipped, I mean, that you know, I see people get whipped and that hurts me. You got to be tough to see that and not care. That guy was tough and rough and he didn't care. And there's a lot of people like that. They don't care. They have hard hearts. So I'm wondering, what changed this man? It was a short time, a very short period of time, and something changed him. I want to know what that is. Because I want to see this. I want to see people change like this man, where they had hard hearts, and before they didn't even care, they didn't even want to listen. And now they're saying, "What do you want from me?" And they're willing to do whatever it takes. They want to know.
Yeah, that's right.
What changed this man? I want to know. And I think we find here some necessary actions to change life. Things that we need to do. How are we going to be able to change them? What do we do that could cause this change in them? Because, you know, some people might say, "Well, God caused a miracle and that miracle changed this man." But you know what? And I believe, I thought that too, you know. But I think I'm tired of blaming God for not seeing people change. You know, I just don't want to blame God anymore. I don't want to say, "Well, God isn't doing these miracles anymore. If God would, you know, free me from a prison like He did, you know, people would do that too." I don't want to blame God. I mean, I don't think He's different. He still has power to do all these great things. And I don't think God's different than 37 years ago when y'all started this. I don't think He's different. I think He can still and still wants to do these same things. So I don't think it's something that He's lacking in.
Amen.
I think there's something that these men were doing that might have changed this man's attitude.
Amen.
And I want to find out, what can I do?
Amen.
Because I'm tired of, you know, putting it all on God. It's His fault. I'm tired of that. It's not His fault. It's not His fault. What changed this man? I think it was that these men, Paul and Silas, they were men of action. You know, they were doers. And I want to do what they did. Okay, so I want to show a few necessary actions. First of all, right there in 25, it shows us. He says, "And that midnight, Paul and Silas prayed." You know, prayer has been talked about this mission conference, last mission conference, and I'm sure last mission conference, and I'm sure since y'all started, prayer has been talked about. You know why? Because I think prayer is important. And I don't think we can stress it enough, how important prayer is. It is so important. Probably the most important thing there is.
Amen.
Is prayer. Man, it's important. You want to see some people changed? You need to pray. I want to ask, and I've heard it, that's why I say it, ask one of these old folks that have seen a lot of change in people and seen things happen. Ask them. And they'll probably tell you, well, God answers prayer. You know, they talk about their checklist. You know, they had a list of things they were praying about. And boy, after a few years of praying for it, they found it. And God had answered all those prayers.
Amen.
You know, you want to see somebody changed? You're probably not going to be able to convince them yourself and change them yourself. That's why we need prayer.
That's right.
I think prayer is just so important. God answers prayer.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes I think, you know, that's the last thing I'm focused on doing is praying. You know, thinking about, you know, preaching and giving and tracts and this, and maybe, hey, let's pray. That's what Paul and Silas did. They prayed.
That's right.
Prayer is important, and it is important in a general sense to every Christian there is. We see in Ephesians, the armor of God, right? And I preached this in Mexico, and I preached the armor of God, and at the end of those verses, it's like he still continues and says, brethren, pray always.
Yes, amen.
And I use that, and I think that is another armor of God, is prayer. And I think it is a defensive armor, because we need prayer to be able to resist and defend ourselves against the attacks. In fact, Christ said, you need to watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. It's important for you and me to be able to defend ourselves against this world and against these temptations. We need to pray.
Amen.
Prayer is important in your life.
Amen.
Whether you're interested in winning souls or not, if you're interested in being a Christian, prayer is important in your life.
Amen.
It's an amazing defensive armor that God gives you. Prayer. But prayer is a weapon.
Yes, it is.
And that's what I want to get at. It's a weapon of attack.
Yes.
And I think it's the greatest weapon there is. You know what the weapon is? It's aerial attack.
Yes. That's right.
That's what it is.
Amen.
We got the sword, you know. We got the sword and we can fight like this. But we got an aerial attack. And that's prayer.
Amen.
And I tell you, a lot of wars have been won with aerial attack.
That's right.
And if we didn't have aerial attack, you know, we'd lose a lot of wars.
That's right.
Air Force is really important. We got an aerial attack.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
It's prayer.
Right.
You know, you can be, I mean, that's what you need. You need the strong attack that comes from God. We pray to God, and we pray that He would do a work in the people we preach to.
Amen.
Have you ever tried to convince somebody? You know, talking about parents and sons, Dad and Grandpa had a, you know, last time I was here, they had a big old, you know, discussion about whether there was dust on the, you know, window or something, and they were just going back and forth, no, that's not dust, that's it's dust, no, that's not dust. I mean, try to convince somebody that they're wrong. You know, I mean, they were talking about dust. And they could not, they came up with so many things, and you know, and they could not convince each other. And that's what it is. You try to convince somebody with your own power, with your own knowledge, with your own intelligence. It's hard. You're not going to do it.
Amen.
It's tough. You know what you need? You need God to do it. So we have this aerial attack. We pray to God and He flies over and drops a bomb. Boom. Boy, that was easy. You're going to have a tough time if you're trying it yourself in your ways. But you know, it says Paul and Silas, I mean, This jailer at the beginning of the story is hard, does not care, is not interested. And at the end of the story, he wants to know, what must I do to be saved? You know what I think? I think what Paul and Silas did during that time had an effect on him. And the first thing it says they did, they prayed. We need to pray. Because we've got this great attack and we're not using it. We're not using it enough, that's for sure. And, you know, I believe this is a prayerful church, and I know some people that are real prayer warriors, but I don't think we're still using it enough, and that's why we can't stress it enough. That's why every mission conference is preached. We need to pray, we need to pray, we need to pray. Because it's important, and it's a good attack. It's God doing the work. And that's what we're praying to Him about. You know, we can say, well, I don't know what Paul prayed for. You know, maybe he prayed to be sprung out of jail. I don't think that's what he was praying for. You know what I think Paul was praying for? That somebody might be saved. I mean, he had this burden, he tells us, you know, for the Israelites. He wanted them to be saved, and he says, that's what my prayer is. Always, I'm praying that they might be saved. And he wasn't even called to preach to the Israelites. He was called to the Gentiles.
Yes.
You think he wasn't praying for them?
Amen.
He was praying that they might be saved.
Amen.
And I think that's probably what he was praying for.
Amen.
I don't think he was in that, you know, urge of getting out of there. He's been in jail a long time. He learned to be content wherever he was.
Amen.
I don't think he was praying, oh Lord, I need to get out of here. He was praying, oh Lord, save somebody.
Amen.
That's what he was praying, I think. And that's what Paul's continual prayer was.
Yes.
Save somebody.
Amen.
That's
right.
We're going to preach. And we're going to preach, and we're going to preach. But if we don't got God working in their hearts, it might just not ever do anything.
That's right, amen.
Because God deals with the heart. God is the one that can change. God is the one that can break that tough, hard heart. It's God. And so he says, you know, you want a way to get to that? It's prayer. And I just see myself lacking so much in prayer. Hey, I pray. But I don't pray enough.
Amen.
I mean, you know, could it be stressed more than this? Pray always.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Paul couldn't stress it enough either. He said, pray always, always. And I wonder, we might think, nah, that's not literal. You know, we don't have to pray always. What time was it there? Midnight? Pray always. Boy, he's stressing it. We need prayer. You want to change some people? You want to see some people changed? Let's pray. And you know, the amazing thing about this aerial attack too to me is that we can send an aerial attack to somewhere we're not. Right? I mean, if we're fighting sword to sword, you know, I can fight you right here. And too bad for all the other ones that are fighting far away. I can't help them. But with an aerial attack, you know, you can send some arrows over to Poland.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You can help Poland.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah,
from this room, you can help Poland.
That's true.
You can send some bombs over there.
Yeah.
Prayer.
That's right.
It's an aerial attack. You can send bombs, you can send attacks anywhere you want because you got an aerial attack. Man, I think that's just amazing. And you know, I think about Paul too. You know, he was called to preach to the Gentiles. But you know, he mentions he prayed for Israel. And I got to confess, and you know, missionaries, are y'all praying enough for San Antonio? I'm called to preach in Mexico. But you know, I can send arrows back this way too. Let's pray. Everybody. I mean, everybody in this room. If you don't want to give, and I think we should, and you know, it's been preached on, giving is a great opportunity we got. But if you don't want to give, you know, that's really, I don't think, is the most important thing. It's important, but I think prayer is the most important thing. Well, what good is it if we have money and we're working and we're doing and we never have to do, and we do all these things, but we don't got God working on our side?
That's right.
Like the kings, you know, that went out to fight without God on their side. It was worthless, useless.
Yes, right.
We need to get God on our side, and that's going to happen by prayer.
That's right.
So I think prayer is very important, and we can't stress this enough. Okay, let's move on to the second point. Second necessary action. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And saying praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Now, can you imagine this? I mean, they just got whipped. They just got beaten. They just got stripped. You know, they were naked, I think. I mean, they took their clothes off and then beat them. And then they thrust them into jail. They put them, you know, handcuffed and stocks on their legs and feet and all that. Man, you know, most people would just be like, down.
That's right.
Down, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're singing praises.
Amen.
I mean, I think everybody that was in that jail cell had to say, "Oh, what's up with these guys, you know? These guys are crazy." We need to have a good testimony.
Amen.
You need a testimony.
Yes, right.
People should see you and say, "Whoa, that's different." People should see you and say, "Boy, I want what you got."
Yeah.
You've just been beaten. I mean, yeah, people, you just got thrown in jail, and you're praising God.
Amen.
Man, these people saw something. It says they heard them. They saw something in them. They saw Paul and Silas. They were different. I think this jailer could say, you know, these guys are different than anybody in here. Everybody else is probably complaining, "No, I want to get out, I'm innocent." And Paul and Silas, who were innocent, you know, they're not complaining. They're singing and praising God. I don't know what they're singing. You know, I'd like to think they're singing, "Glory, I'm saved! Glory, I'm saved!" And the jailer's hearing that. And you know, when this call gets through, he says, "I want what you got."
Amen.
How? What do I need to get saved?
Amen.
You know, if you walk into a restaurant and you sit down at a table and the guy next to you is looking at his food and eating his food and just got this awful look on his face. And, you know, says, "Waiter, come here. I'm not paying for this. Take this away. You know, I hate this. This is gross. What'd you give me?" Do you say, "Ooh, I want that"? No. No. Right? What if you get to a restaurant, and this happened, you know, the other day. Man, I got there and I saw this. Oh, man, that looked good. And you know, you see this guy and he's just eating it and he's loving it. And he says, "Hey, I got to talk to your chef. I love this. This is great. The best food I've ever had." You know, you say, "Hey, waiter, I want that."
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I want.
Amen.
Well, I think that's what people should be saying about us.
Amen.
We should be so joyful. We should be the most joyful people ever because we're saved.
Amen.
And people should say, "I want that. I want what he's got. Look at him. He can go through all these terrible things, and yet he can still sing praises to God." Man, people should see us and say, "I want what he's got." What a testimony would that be? You think people would be changed? You know, I wonder, shouldn't the people closest to us be the ones that get changed? The people seeing you working every day, the way you live, they should say, "Hey, I know what he's got. I know he's different, and I want that."
Amen.
think there's too many complainers amongst us?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, Paul and Silas were really in bad conditions. They had been bad. They were singing praises. They weren't complaining. I don't think Paul ever had an attitude that I can remember of a complainer. He was content. He was happy. He was singing. He was praising God. And boy, people saw that and wanted that change. But you know, I've been thinking about it, and I think there's no worse repellent than a bad testimony. We got a guy in our church now. He thought he was saved. It's a family of five, like five brothers, and they have wives and stuff. He thought he got saved a few years back. He just raised his hand, you know, and repeated a prayer. Yet he was still a drunkard. And he still did a whole bunch of things. Praise the Lord. Now he's given us a clear testimony that he's saved. He stopped drinking. And now he's coming to the meetings. He's coming to preachings. And he wants to be a part. You know, praise the Lord. But he's got these, you know, there's five of them there. And so he thought he was saved, and yet he was a drinker. And that, you know, had a bad testimony. One of his brothers or brother-in-law was a pastor. Another one was a pastor. And another one, I believe, is a deacon. Right? And then the other one is a Catholic. Okay? This family, he was a drunkard as a Christian. One of the pastors ran off on his wife and ran off with another woman, left his three kids with her, and has now another family. And just, you know, beat up that church. The other pastor, his daughter, got into fornication and she's pregnant, and he had to resign as a pastor. The other one has some problems with his kids. They're drinking and stuff like that. And you know, we go to this family that is Catholic, and we tell them, hey, you want the gospel? You want to accept Christ? You want to become a Christian? And they can just say, why do I want that? They say, my kids, you know, are following me. They're doing good. I have the best marriage in my family. I'm not cheating on my wife. And you just can't get through to them. Because they've been repelled by their testimony. And that's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to recover. Testimonies, you know, there's no worse repellent. If you have a bad testimony, you're going to run people away from the gospel.
That's right. That's true.
And our intention is to draw them to Christ, you know. And so, people see you complaining just like them. Why do they want what you've got? People see you go to church sometimes you don't. You don't really care about... You know, you want to make it. They do the same thing. They do the same thing. I don't know. Think about it. What do you got that makes them say, I want that? They had a great testimony. I mean, I believe this jailer, and it says he was asleep. But I think even in his sleep, you know, he was hearing and seeing, and he saw they were different. At the end of the story, he could say, boy, I want what you got. He knew who to come to. Hey, Paul and Silas, I want what they got. What do we got? We need good testimonies amongst us to change lives. If they don't see the change in us, if they don't see what, you know, I want what they got, they're not going to change. They're not going to want salvation. Look at verse 27-28. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Last thing I want to mention is I believe Paul had an interest.
That's right.
Yeah. He saw Paul had an interest in him.
That's right.
He was about to kill himself. Yeah? And Paul shouts out, "Hey, don't do that." You know, I don't... Paul could have sat back and just watched it happen. I believe that's what probably most of the prisoners were wanting, you know? You got freedom right there, you know? And there's a guy with a sword, a jailer. He's the only thing that stands in your way. And he's about to kill himself. You know, I think those prisoners were like, "Yeah, go on, you know? I want to get out of here." Paul wasn't that interested in getting out of jail. He was interested in that man and his life. And he said, "Hey, don't kill yourself. Wait. Don't die." This man saw he had an interest. Paul was interested in his life. Paul was interested in his soul. We can sit back and watch people die. We can. Or we can take an interest.
Amen.
Isn't it time that we shout, "Hey, don't do that.
Amen.
Don't die. Don't go down that road." Isn't it time we lifted up our voice and shouted because they're dying?
Yeah, that's right.
They just need to know somebody's interested and somebody's different and somebody has the answer. You know, I think God is moving and God is touching. And God, like I said, I do not think it's God's fault we're not seeing the results we want to be seeing. I think it's our fault. I think God is touching. And maybe some people just don't see where to go. Maybe some people are looking for God, but they don't know who has God. You know, they see Mormons and they see Jehovah's Witnesses almost every day. So they think they got God. And they don't.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, could we be as interested, you know, as a Jehovah's Witnesses? Maybe he's interested in the wrong things, but could we be that interested in the right things?
Amen.
You know, interested in them?
Yeah.
It's time that we warn them. You know, near-death experience, I think that changes people.
Yeah.
This guy was about to die. You know, that changes you. I don't know if anybody's ever went through that. I've gone through that. I thought I was going to die, and it changed me. It made me think, "Hey, I want to get married." And I went for it. You know, it'll give you some perspective. It'll make you think about the right things, you know.
That's right.
Near-death experiences. Well, this guy had a near-death experience. And he thought things over. Ooh, and he realized, I need salvation.
Amen.
And he knew who to go to. People are having near-death experiences all the time. All the time. Do they know who to go to? Do they know if they need God? Do they know, "I need to go to you. I need to go to Missy. I know she has the answer. I know she knows God." Do they know that? Have you ever shown them that you're interested in them so that when they do have that need, they know to go to you?
Amen.
You know, they need to know that you're interested. And, you know, right now it probably bugs them to death that you're interested in them. But one day they just might get a little perspective and know what they need.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it'll all be worth it to them. They'll say, "Hey, I don't care that you were so annoying all this time. Now it's worth it.
That's right.
I need you." You got to be interested in them.
Amen.
In life. And they're dying.
That's right.
So we're called to take action. I mean, God's still moving. God's still doing. And it's not His fault things aren't getting done. this man started off, and in just a few, I don't know how long it was, a few hours, I think, something changed in him. He started off not caring, hard, and he ended up running to their feet and saying, "Hey, what must I do to be saved? I want what you've got." And I think if we want that, if we desire that, there's things we can do.
Yes.
We might not get every one of them like that, but I think we would see a lot more of it. I don't know. I think we would. If we started praying, you know, like we should be praying, and really just always sincerely, fervently, and you can pray. I remember Brother Brian just always told us whenever we were, you know, youth camps and stuff, he's like, "Y'all need to pray." He said, "It doesn't matter where you are." He said, "If you're on the toilet, you can pray." Oh, whoa, Brother Brian, you know. But hey, it's true. You can pray everywhere you are. And you know, if you're interested in something, isn't it true that you'll do whatever it takes? You know, I think I'm trying to be interested in souls, and there's so many distractions. There's so many distractions. I got to get my interest back to them. And you know, I want to be interested in them. I mean, what else do you got to be interested in? What else is worth it? I want to be interested in souls.
Amen.
And so we're called to take action. To pray, to live good lives where people know that's what I want. And to show some interest in people. Take some interest. I don't know, and you can't take an interest in everybody. But hey, maybe there's somebody that you know that you can just take an interest in and say, "I want him to get saved. And I'm going to bug him every day. And he's going to know I have a God. And he's going to know I know the truth. And he's going to know that when he needs something, when he needs God, he knows I'm the one that got it."
Right.
Let's take an interest. And with all that, we can hope somebody will change. Hope somebody will just come up to us, you know, maybe one day you're not even expecting it, and they'll just say, "You know, yesterday I almost died in a car accident. And I thought about my life and I realized I was going to die and I'm scared to death. But I know you're not scared of death. And I want to know what I need to be saved like you."
Amen.
Let's be men of action.
Amen.